you have your Bibles, please take them to Hebrews chapter 9 with me. Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll start reading in verse 24, looking at the last five verses of Hebrews chapter 9, looking at Christ's appearings and our appointment. Hebrews chapter 9. Good to hear the pages turn. Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 24, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." First of all, I want you to notice in verse 24, we begin the first of the three appearances of Jesus. That word "appear" is three times in the verses that I've read. One is past, one is present, one is future. The Bible says in verse 24, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." So the appearing of Jesus Christ presently, now, right now, is in heaven itself. And he's appearing there, the Bible says, for us. He's made an appearance. Now, you can't see him there, but he's there to be seen by God the Father for your benefit. The second appearance in verse 26, the Bible says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared," that's past tense, "to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ appeared on this earth, and he appeared on the cross to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The appearance of Jesus in the past on the cross of Calvary, the appearance of Jesus in the present in heaven itself. Now look at the third appearing. He said in verse 28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear," that's future tense, "the second time without sin unto salvation." Now I want to think about these things in light of verse 27 that I didn't mention in those comments. First of all, look at verse 24. I'll just take it in the order that God gives it. I would really start my mind. I would start in the past, and I would go to the present, and then I would go to the future. That's how I would view the three appearings of Jesus Christ. But that's not the way the Bible puts it. The first thing the Bible wants you to know is that right now, Jesus is appearing for you. Do you see that in verse 24? He said, "Now to appear." What is Jesus doing right now? Right now, the Bible says he is in heaven, he's in the presence of God, he's at the right hand of the Father, and look what the verse says, "Now to appear in the presence of God for us." There is someone in heaven for you. And if he was not there for you, you would have no hope. He is appearing there for you. How much Jesus Christ focuses everything he did for us and not for himself. Look at, you're in chapter 9 of Hebrews. Look at verse 12. Chapter 9 verse 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place." Look at it. "Having obtained eternal redemption for us." That's something he was doing for you. He was doing for me, though we did not deserve it. In chapter 10, would you look at Hebrews chapter 10? The Bible said in verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated," look at it, for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Jesus Christ didn't have to worry about getting a way up to heaven for Himself because He came down from heaven and He would go back to heaven without anybody's help. But you see, He had to make a way for us. He had to consecrate a plan of salvation for us. And the Bible says now He's appearing for us in heaven in the presence of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, His love is toward you, and Christ's death is for you. The Bible says that He made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Would you consider what Christ has done for you? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, He was made a curse, listen, for us. All of that He went through on the cross of Calvary was for us. The Bible says now He is making intercession for us by the will of God, and He ever lives to make intercession for us, the Bible says. Would you look at chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7. You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? And yet God has someone for you in heaven, because you can't be there on your own. You can't stand before a holy God on your own. You've got to have somebody for you there. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, He says in verse 1, if any man sin, is anybody here guilty of that one? Would you raise your hand? Could you be honest about that? The rest of you that didn't raise your hand, we'll pray for you. Amen. If any man sin, listen now, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ appears in heaven for us to be our advocate. You know what an advocate is? An advocate is someone that will plead your case. An advocate is someone that will defend you. An advocate is somebody that will stand in your place to try to vindicate you, even if you're guilty. I tell you what, we've got lawyers now that stand before courts and judges. It costs a lot of money to get an advocate. It costs a lot of money to get somebody to defend. You know, some people have to defend others that they know they're guilty. But, you know, if you've got enough money, anybody, you can get a good lawyer to defend you. I tell you what, you don't have enough money to get God to defend you. You don't have enough persuasion to get Jesus Christ. But you know what Jesus Christ says? He said, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your sin problem is. I am appearing in heaven for you. I will be your advocate if you'll let me. I will stand before the Father in spite of your sin to defend you and to vindicate you and to represent you and to plead your case. Oh, every man needs an advocate. Every man needs Jesus Christ to stand before the Father and plead their case. But see, some of you hadn't signed up for the advocate. You know, there's no lawyer that'll go into the court unless you approve it. You can't just expect someone to go in and plead your behalf if there's not a relationship there. Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? He's seated up in heaven for you, for all of your needs, for all of your sins, for all of your problems. And He's appearing there right now. Hebrews chapter 7, would you look at it? The Bible says in verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see that he ever liveth to, he's appearing there for us to be our advocate. You see chapter 8 of Hebrews verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Jesus, there is somebody in heaven for you. So why don't you go to him? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Great verse. Jesus Christ is appearing in heaven now for you. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a blessing it is that Jesus Christ is appearing before the Father. He's in heaven right now for us, for you. But so few people come to Him and come to His throne and come for His aid. He's there for your sins. He's there for your burdens. He's there for your infirmities. So why don't you go to Him? Why don't you go to the one that is in heaven for you right now? And may I say, His present ministry of appearing in heaven will never be interrupted. He ever liveth to make intercession. He's never too busy. He never goes on vacation. He never has to stop and say, you know, I'm sick. I've got to go to bed. His appearing is not interrupted. Day or night, wherever you are, halfway around the world, what time it is, wherever you find yourself. The problem is not that you don't have somebody in heaven ready to plead your cause and to help you with your infirmities. The problem is that we're not going to that advocate. We're not going to that throne. We are not going and resorting to that grace. He appears right now in heaven. I'll give you a second thing quickly. Would you go back to our text, Hebrews chapter 9. And then he says in verse number 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In the past, Jesus appeared on the cross of Calvary to put away your sin. To put away your sin and to bear the sins of many, the Bible says in verse 28. Would you look at that? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He appeared so many years ago on the cross to bear your lustful thoughts, to bear your lies, to bear your deeds. He bare them to put them away. You know, that is a perfect illustration of Leviticus chapter 16. We won't go there, but in Leviticus chapter 16, when the people of Israel, they had all these sin problems, just like we have today. You know, it doesn't matter if you live 4,000 years ago, amen, or 1,000 years ago, or who's going to be born, you know, next year. Mankind's got the same problem. It's just sin, man. It's sin. It's sin. Your problems are what people's problems have always been. It's sin. And the Bible said in Luke chapter 16, they came to the point, what are we going to do with this sin? So God said, okay, this is what I want you to do, Aaron. I want you to take two goats. Get two of them now. I want you to take two goats. And what I want you to do with that one goat, I want you to take that one goat because we got to get your sin put away. And we are going to make that goat an offering, a burnt offering to God for your sin because the wages of sin is death. Something's got to pay for this sin. So they took that one goat and they put it on the altar and they burnt that goat as a sacrifice for their sin. And he says, now that other goat, I want you to take that other goat. The Bible calls it a scapegoat. And I want you to take that other goat and I want you to put your hands on that goat. And I want you to confess all your sins on the head of that goat. And confess all the sins of the people. I wonder how long that took. You know, some people may not confess their sins today. You know why? It'd take them so long to do it. They just say, well, why bother? But you see, the Bible says they brought that goat out there and Aaron put his hands on that goat. He started confessing every sin. Have you ever done that? Have you ever put your hands on the Lord and said by faith and said, Lord, here's my sin and here's my sin and here's my sin and here's my sin. And he'd confess all his sins on that goat. And then God said, all right, when you get finished, that goat's going to bear all those sins. And you take it out in the wilderness and let that goat wander in the wilderness for the rest of his life, bearing your sin. You know, Jesus Christ was not only the first goat, but he was the second goat. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for our sins, to put away our sin, and He was also that scapegoat to bear the sins of many. He bore in His own body on the tree every dirty thing you've ever done, every sinful thing, every commandment you've ever broken. He bore it in His own body. You know what a lot of people say? Well, I know why Jesus came the first time. He came to bring peace on the earth. Well, that's crazy. He even said He didn't come for that reason. You know, sometimes we even say it this way, but it's not the whole story. We say, I know why Jesus came. Jesus came and appeared almost 2,000 years ago because He wanted to save people. But you know what? There's even a deeper meaning here. The Bible said He appeared. What does it say? Look at the verse. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Do you see that? Jesus Christ appeared 2,000 years ago to put away your sin. To put away what offended God. How you offended God. What ruined our creation. What ruined our world. He is taking care of the issue. The issue of humanity. The issue of your life is not that you're not religious enough. Not that you need to turn over a new leaf. Not that you need to be a better person. Not that the world needs to be fixed. The issue of humanity and the issue of your life and my life is sin. And Jesus appeared almost 2,000 years ago to put that away and to bear it for us and to take it on Himself. Oh, and why would not we go to that Savior who appeared for that reason? Now, the Bible says He's not going to do that often. You see verse 26? Once, says, in the end of the world hath He appeared. In other words, the first thing, He's appearing in the presence of God. That won't be interrupted. He ever liveth to make intercession for it. The second appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And He did that once, and that will not be repeated. Will not be repeated. Some of these people want to sacrifice Jesus over and over again in this mass and all this other stuff that religion concocts. Jesus Christ will only sacrifice Himself once. It will not be repeated, and it's to reconcile us to Himself. Hebrews 10:10 and 12 says it's once and for all and forever. You didn't need more than one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It was enough to take care of everything. If you'll make one trip to Jesus Christ, He'll take that penalty. He'll take that because of what He appeared. You say, how is that possible? Because He appeared to put away sin. Just put it away by the sacrifice of Himself. Would you go to the third thing, Hebrews chapter 9. He says in verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear, that's future, the second time, without sin unto salvation. I'm glad to report this morning that the world has not seen the last of Jesus. They may not think about Him. They may only use His name as a curse word. But one of these days He will appear the second time to the whole world. The Bible says that every eye shall see Him. And just as surely as He appeared 2,000 years ago, and just as assuredly as He appears in the presence of God for me right now, He shall appear to the whole world. And look what the Bible says. Shall He appear without, the second time, without sin? Now, I understand that if you look for the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a purifying event. All those that love His appearing and are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, all of that purifies us. I understand that, but there's something else here. Because the last time that we saw Jesus Christ, He's bearing the sins of many, verse 28. But the Bible says when He comes and appears, He'll come without sin. You know what that means? That means He took that sin and did something with it, because when He comes back, He doesn't have it anymore. He appears the second time without sin. Where did all the sin go? You were the scapegoat. All the sin of the whole world was put on you and put in you, and you bear it away. And you've been bearing these sins for humanity all this time. But when He comes the second time, the sin's gone. You know why? Because He deposited into the lowest hell, brother. Amen. All my sins, Jesus has taken. He's deposited in the lowest hell. And when He appears the second time, there's no sin there. There's no sin in Him. There's no sin on Him. And look, if you trust Him as your Savior, there's no sin on your record either. without sin. Now that Bible says unto them that look for Him. I wondered this morning, are you looking for it? Are you looking for Him? So many people are looking for so many things in life, but they're not looking for Jesus. You know how I know they're not looking for Jesus? Not just because they're not purified in their self, but they're not looking for Jesus for another reason, because they never miss Him. They never miss Him. Have you ever been away from someone for a length of time? You just got to miss Him. I was texting the Shells the other day in the jungle. And I asked Miss Bonnie, I said, anything I can pray for you about? How you doing? She texted back, and here's what she said. She said, I just miss my family. You know, that's normal, right? That she wouldn't have a very, very good family if she didn't miss them. But there's a longing there. And there should be an expectation for the next time you get to see each other. And let me ask you a question. You're not looking for Jesus, are you, if you don't ever miss Him? How can people go through their life and call themselves a Christian and they never think about Jesus? And they never look to Jesus and they never talk to Jesus and they never miss Jesus? You ever miss Jesus? The Bible says, unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, there is coming an appearing of the Lord in the future. And that appearing will not be hindered. It will not be stopped. No one can stop it. The condition of our world can't stop it. The condition of the church can't stop it. The condition of your heart can't stop it. One day Jesus Christ will appear in the clouds for His own. One day He will appear on the earth for the whole world to see. And nothing can stop that. Nothing can hinder that. Just like His appearing in heaven cannot be interrupted. His appearing for us on that cross cannot be repeated. His appearing in the future cannot be stopped. He's coming, He's coming, and I say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And just for myself, I want to say I miss Him. I miss His presence in this world. But I'm not finished. The verse that I've not emphasized is the one I want to leave you with this morning. The Bible, in all the midst of these three appearings of Jesus Christ, it gives us verse 27. Would you look at that, please? It says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered. Now, I think he's saying more than one thing here. Number one, he's saying, just like it's appointed unto men once to die, because the wages of sin is death. And by the way, God has appointed, He's made an appointment. Sin brings death. It will happen. That's just the way it is. You sin, you die. So this is what happened. It's appointed unto men once to die. So what happened with Jesus Christ? He took our sins and He took our death and He died once. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. God judged our sin in His own Son on the cross. He suffered our penalty and suffered our hell through that death. And the Bible says, just like that, that's what Christ did for you. But I see something else. You know what I see? I see not just Jesus dying in verse 27. I see you and me dying, right? And as it is appointed unto men once to die. Hey, got any appointments this week? I've got a doctor's. Anybody got an appointment this coming week? Anybody made an appointment? Yeah. You don't have to be a doctor visit. It'd be anything. You got an appointment? You know what we do sometimes with appointments? We cancel them, don't we? Poor old, he's not here this morning. He got sick, But Brother Joe Tillman, he's had surgery scheduled 3 or 4 times. You cancel it. You know, you can cancel some appointments, but I tell you what, there are some appointments you can't cancel. And the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, God says that in a generic sense because that is a human principle. We have an appointment with death and we have an appointment with judgment. But there are exceptions to that rule, though it proves the rule. There are people that will never die. Enoch, he never died. But as a general rule, all of humanity, there's going to be a group of people that are left here that when Jesus comes in the clouds for His own, we won't die, we won't sleep. We'll miss that. Of course, we would have had to enter into Christ's death to get into that fact. But the Bible also tells us there's more than one death. You understand that? Hebrews chapter 20, the Bible talks about death and hell being cast in the lake of fire, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. He says this is the second death. There's two. You can die twice. But now listen, look at the Bible. It is appointed unto men once to die. You know what that means? God never appointed you to die twice. God doesn't want you to die twice. God didn't make an appointment day on the calendar of your life and say, all right, he's going to die on this day and he's going to go to hell on this day because the second death is going to hell. God never appointed any man to die twice. He only appointed man to die once because of his sin. And if you die twice, if you go to hell, if one day you go into that lake of fire, it will not be because God appointed you there and God wanted you there. It's because you didn't take that appearing of Christ that was for you to take away your sin and put it away, and you didn't avail yourself of the one that appears in the presence of God for you. So this business about God appointing some people to heaven and some people to hell, that's far into the Bible. That's not true. God has appointed one thing. Okay, you're a sinner. You're born that way. You're going to die. And after this, the judgment. You know, everybody's appointed to judgment. Saved or lost. The nations are appointed to judgment. Israel's appointed to judgment. The believers, the children of God, are appointed to judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is for all the born-again, saved children of God. The great white throne judgment for those that don't have part in that. But everyone's, there's an appointment day. Do you understand? There's an appointment day. You're not going to cancel it. Now listen. We live like we're never going to die. I never cease to be amazed, and it always happens in a little circle. Some event will happen. And a week ago today, a famous basketball player died, right? And the whole world talked about the death of that one person. They were infatuated. They were overwhelmed with it. Because I can't believe this. He wasn't sick, and he was strong, and he was young. You know, just sick people don't die. Well, why did that man die? Because it's appointed unto men once to die. And sometimes that appointment is not with old age. You know, that always happens. And some people are too young to remember that. I remember. Some of you remember past my age. Remember when JFK died? And what a shock that was. Everybody remembers where they were when this guy died. You know what I remember? I remember when his boy died. I mean, he was the picture of health and the picture of beauty and the picture of success and prominence. Man of the year, most handsome man in the world, the magazines would declare, had all the wealth, had all the prestige, and JFK Jr. went down in that plane, and it was a sudden thing, and the whole world goes, oh my goodness, then they sent out ships because of one man's death. Princess Diana. And the world stops because one person died. Rock stars, prominent people die, and they stop, and it seems like the whole world stops. I remember when I was in middle school. I know some of you probably believe I can't remember that far. About the seventh grade at Oak Park Middle School. Doesn't exist anymore, about like half the things that I lived through. In Decatur, Alabama, seventh grade. And one of my classmates, knew him well. One of my classmates got sick and died in the middle of the school year. And the whole school stopped. What has happened? How can this be possible? How can this young person die? Because he had an appointment. I remember I was a junior in high school. We were involved in basketball, and my best friend was also a pastor's son. He had baptized me in my church. He used to be my pastor, and I remember we were whatever we were. I was, I guess, 17. He was 18 years old, and we were at his house one day, and the call came, and his dad, getting on a plane to go preach or coming off of a plane, had a massive heart attack at, I don't know, maybe 50 years old, and he died, and he was gone. It just seemed like the whole world stopped. But listen to me just a minute. every second somebody dies. And all of them aren't prominent. And all of them aren't a schoolmate or a classmate or a family member. But all of us have an appointment. And you're going to keep that appointment. Now, yes, you can lengthen that appointment. The Bible gives us a promise in the Word of God. We honor our father and mother. Our days can be long and lengthened, as even Hezekiah's were. You can shorten that appointment by some of your sinfulness, and God can get angry with you. He can snuff out your life. But here's the truth. Every one of you have an appointment. I wonder what day you're going to die. I wonder if tomorrow is your appointment. You say, preacher, I'm in good health. I feel really good. You've got an appointment, and you've not made it. God's made it. And God told you about it in advance. And in the middle of the text, telling you, God's got somebody in heaven up there for you. In the middle of the text, telling you, there's somebody that can take away all your sin and settle all your debt and take care of not only the things in your life, but the things for eternity. In the middle of that text, in telling you that Jesus is coming, He will appear. He tells you in the book, in light of all that, you've got an appointment. Don't you think you ought to think about your appointment in light of the appearing of Jesus Christ? He's the only one that can help you with that appointment. He's the only one that can help you with that appointment. And the next person could be somebody in here this week. But the next person that goes out of this world, that's in your little sphere of influence, and your whole world seems to stop, I'm trying to remind you, that happens every second of the world, somewhere in somebody's family. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after that, the judgment. And people aren't ready. They're not ready to die. They're not ready for the judgment. They don't think about the fact they've got an appointment. And they have no control over it. But the appointment's coming. And the sad thing as a pastor is watching people live their lives in total ignorance of their appointment. You are not ready to live your life at all until you're ready for that appointment. Until you're ready for that judgment. So this is what's going to happen. As you live your life, your appointment day is creeping closer toward you. And all of the things you've got going on in your life are going to come to a halt in a second. And everything that was so important to you and that took all your time is going to stop in a moment of time. God says you've got one appointment, but you've got three appearings of Christ for you. Why don't you look at your life and your death in light of that one that came for you? Because He died for you. Dying once is bad, guys. But dying twice is hell. So, preacher, how morbid. No, I'm telling you, the whole world stops and people mourn and they say, why? And they didn't prepare for their appointment day. As I close, I can't close preaching that verse without an illustration I've given before. It was, I don't know how many years ago, my wife might be able to remind me, 10, 12 years ago, I don't know, maybe 15 by now. I was pastoring in Virginia in my youth. Best man we ever had. He's 41 years old probably. Healthy man, served the Lord. You know, it's not just wicked people that die, guys. You say, well, I'm saved. I love the Lord. You still got an appointment. Well, you're going to keep it. This guy, he loved Jesus. Faithful to church. Was preaching. He was working on his farm. Had that bobcat pushing stumps on the back of his property. And it seemed like a freak of nature. It seemed like an accident. Guys, there's not any accidents with God. It didn't take him by surprise. And the carriage of that bobcat just flipped over and that stump hit him square in the chest and took his life. And as I drove out to that house and I was grieving with the family and praying with the children that just lost their father and with a wife whose world stopped because of death, as we walked back toward the house, that dear brother had a scripture sign in his yard. And he had just changed it a week or so before. And the scripture on that sign said, "It is appointed unto men once to die." And I took that sign out of that yard on the day of that man's funeral and held it up in the church house. And I said, that was his appointment day. He was ready. Are you ready?